challenging thoughts in that song. The Lord has given us everything, and sometimes it's so difficult for us just to give Him the least from ourselves. Sometimes it's too difficult to even come to church. Sometimes it's too difficult to just do the least things for Him. And yet the challenge is for this song lays out is, you know, He gave His all for us. How much more does He deserve that from us? He gave us things that were truly valuable. All we have is a worthless life, a reckless, or a wasted existence that He's redeemed, that He would give us back a little bit. And that's all we have to offer Him. It's not too much, I don't think, to give Him. Like I said, we grumble, and sometimes it's so easy for us just to despise or think little of the basic things. Anyway, let's open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. And the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads. And on his horns were 10 diadems. And on his head were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth were like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed. And the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. They worshiped the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast and who is able to wage war with him?" There was given to him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies, and authority to act for 42 months was given him. And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, that is, those who dwell in heaven. It was also given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of the life of the Lamb who had been slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is destined to captivity, to captivity goes. If anyone kills with the sword he must be killed. Here is the preservation of the faith of the saints. And it says, then I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. He exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and he made the earth and those to dwell worship the first beast whose fatal wound was healed. He performed great signs so that even he makes fire come down of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which he has given them to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. And it was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, and so that the image of the beast would even speak, because as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he causes all the small and great and the rich and poor and the free men and slaves to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or to sell except the one who has had the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. All right, read that today, and not going to try to expound greatly on this or what everything means or what the beast is or the one that's slain and the one that's given life again or the fire coming down from heaven or even the significance of the number. But what I want to bring out this morning is welcome to this time. This is the time we're living in. We see things, and one of the things, in verse 14, it says, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which was given him. We're living in a time that the earth is under a great deception. There's a much bigger power than you or I could ever imagine that's in control of things. These beasts and these powerful things, you know, we look at these corporations and things that are just doing things, controlling things, trying to force things down our throat just to always have it right in front of us, things that are unimaginable, unthinkable, and yet they're right in front of us all the time. I mean, you can't even hardly go to a store, the simplest stores, without having this just right in your face, the abominable things that are going on in the world. And it's powerful things. I mean, it's, you know, used to you could... the businesses, they wouldn't touch politics or religion or anything that, and it doesn't matter anymore. They don't care. They're too big. They're beast, like this is talking about. That it doesn't matter what man thinks or a few people think. Their power is so great that they're like these great dragons and things that and the world is just amazed by them. And this is the time we live in. Is the point. This is the time we're living in. You know, I've heard about these things all of my life, and I've heard preachers say this, you know, well, we're in the last days, and that's been spoken ever since the apostles were here. But things that are going on today, the deception, the blindness that people have that are just following into things has never been, you know, that we know of. And the power that's going on, the power to communicate all over the world, you know, we've always heard about one money and one language. We live in that time. You know, you can take a credit card and just go anywhere in the world and one money. You know, they may dice it up behind the scenes somehow, but it's basically one money. You can speak to anyone and have it translated. We have one language. It's one world. And that's what Satan wants, a one world government. He hates individual people having their own thoughts and own ideas. It's, you're not allowed to have those thoughts. This is the time we're living in. There's a great deception in the world. And you know, well, we go to church, we got a Bible, we believe all, you know, none of that's going to matter. You know, it can be a help, but if we don't apply that to ourselves and that have that faith to be what God wants us to be, you know, the Bible says that except that the days would be shortened, that even the very elect will be deceived. And we, you know, we don't have time to, you know, we don't have time to worry about that. We've got things, we're just so busy. We've got so many things going, or my thoughts and my agendas are important. You know, when it comes out and we've been deceived, our things won't have been that important, what we wanted. Point is we're upon a time where even the very elect could be deceived, except for God shortening the time. So I just want to encourage diligence, faithfulness. I mean, you young people, you're growing up in a time where you've never known any different. And so you get used to it. You know, you just learn to roll with, this is life, and so I'm going to plan, you know, and just be able to live this. You may not be able to if you want to be faithful. If you keep rolling with things as they go, just to go along and go along, you know, there may be come a time that it may really cost you just to maintain your own identity in Christ. You know, you better know it now. You better get it established. And you better, you know, it's not the time to play. You know, just, this is a battlefield. And the wages are high. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the power of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed, from faith to faith, as is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. The power of the gospel is by faith. You know, so many of us try to figure out religion. We won't survive, and we won't live by, the righteous man lives by faith. You know, we try to have everything all buttoned up and all sewed up and confident that we're where we're supposed to be. Faith is a realm that it doesn't seem all that secure. Sometimes we have to make different decisions. The righteous man lives by faith. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. This, the righteousness of God that's revealed to us, is His character. You know, we talk about the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, those things that we are reflecting who God is. That's what's real about it. It's not just a religion. It's something that's in the very core of us. And it says, from the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. And that, you know, we know that God is love and God's full of mercy. But those that have turned their back and have given themselves over to wickedness, there's no redemption for. And the wrath of God will be revealed upon it. As good as God is and as merciful as He is to those that would return to Him, those that refuse, it's not going to be very pretty. It says, since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, those things we talked about, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, His invisible attributes. You know, we have God, we picture Him as something, you know, but His attributes are powerful, but they're invisible to most people in the world. His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made so that they are without excuse. You know, people today don't even believe God existed. They don't even believe God created the world. Where does that come from? Even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. But they become futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. One of the verses read that, you know, if we hate our brother, we walk in darkness. We walk in darkness. The key to there is they don't know they're in darkness. People don't know they're in darkness. And that's the horrible thing about darkness. You know, people that are reprobate, everything that they say makes sense. You know, we wonder, you hear these arguments that the world gives us, and they, you know, we just think that's crazy to even think that. You know, they're having ads now about celebrating Father's Day, and they're putting two men together that can't even have children and celebrating them. And this makes sense to people. And we wonder, how can that make sense? We try to argue with them, but it makes sense to them. And that's the hard thing about deception. It makes sense to them. For even though they knew God and did not honor Him or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Like I said, people in darkness don't, oh, I'm in darkness, I better be careful. They don't know they're in darkness. They're walking in darkness. They're living in darkness. And they think they're just as awake as you and I are. And they think they're just as much walking in light as you and I are. It says, professing to be wise, they became fools. And exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, and of birds, and four-footed animals, and crawling creatures. Therefore God gave them over to the lust of their hearts, to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The second time it says, for this reason God gave them over to degrading passions, for the women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And then verse 28, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. You know, a lot of times I've heard it said, you know, the things that are going on, the sin, God's going to judge us for those things. But that's not the way it works. People are doing this kind of stuff because God gave them over. You know, they doing wickedness, you know, it's not just going to bring God's judgment. It's neglecting God and forgetting God all of these years. And then God gives them over. And then all of this stuff comes. We're living in God's judgment and wrath upon man. That's what Revelation is all about. It's about people who have been given over. And yet, we're still in the middle of it. We're living right in the middle of it. And that's what I bring it to today. For this reason, God gave them over. And yet, there's still hope. There's still an elect. There's still a few. to walk in the light. We'll turn to 2 Timothy. Chapter 1. Verse 6, it says, "For this reason I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline." And in other versions it says, God has given us a sound mind. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. The power of a sound mind is a mind that goes with God. Those invisible attributes. The power of a sound mind, the power that God has available, is given to us when we have those attributes. You know, a lot of times when we're under pressure or whenever things are controlling our mind that shouldn't, we don't have a sound mind. A sound mind, wisdom, a sound mind are those things that come to us that line up with the invisible attributes of God. You know, a lot of times, you know, what we don't realize sometimes is that when God turns us over, we no longer have a sound mind. You know, I think that's why there's so many, you know, people that seem wise in their own counsels and their own deceits, but they're so far away from the attributes of God that their mind is corrupt. It's a mental disease. It's a mental issue. A lot of times we get to that place because we don't have our minds where they're supposed to be, lined up with the attributes of God. You know, whenever we are angry, whenever something's made us mad, you know, and we just dwell on that, and then just explode. Those are not the attributes of God. We're given over to something else. It's dangerous. We're not in our right mind. We don't have a sound mind. What I want to talk about is having a sound mind going through a crazy world. And that's what it is. How do we maintain that? We maintain that by keeping control of ourselves. You know, we've said it before. The only thing in this world that we can control is our attitude. And when we let things manipulate our attitude, somebody did us wrong, and we get upset, and we're all mad. Jesus got upset, and it was over right things, but it didn't control him. He controlled it. He had a temper, but he didn't lose it. It helped him to stand up to some things that were absolutely corrupt and wrong. We have the tendency, whenever we get all upset, it's over something that somebody's done us wrong, or somebody's done, you know, things that what we're doing is giving up control. You know, unforgiveness. You know, whenever we're just chewing on something, somebody's done us wrong, And we just chew on it and chew on it and chew on it. And we dwell on how, you know, we might be in a situation or might be living in a situation where there's somebody that just does us wrong every day, just the way they do things. And if we just dwell on that and chew on that, maybe boys, you know, they get a certain age and their dad just, everything their dad does just grates on their skin, and they just chew on that and chew on that. We're opening ourselves up. That's where the danger is. You know, whatever the world does, if we're not right when it does it to us, we'll not be prepared to go through it. But as we live our lives and we keep our minds and our hearts where they're supposed to be, whatever the devil throws at us, our only hope is to live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. And that's how we prepare for all this. There's, you know, it's a scary time. But if you get all scared and want to run, you'll get overtaken. You can't run fast enough. The way we prepare is to live. The righteous shall live by faith. Bitterness, unforgiveness, those are not of a sound mind. And those are corruptible. And those are ends for Satan to get a hold of us. Lust, fear, anxiety, all of those things, learn to rest. When you give yourself over to those things, you're opening yourself up and you're on dangerous ground. The just shall live by faith. It's scary looking, and if we get all scared about it, like I said, we can run, we can hide, but that won't protect us. We've got to be prepared by living by faith. No matter what the situation we're in, it's nothing. I mean, it don't matter what anybody, how you're being treated. You overcome it. You know, you can run away from your problems. You can run away from your situation. But you can't run away. The devil is right there behind you. We live by faith through these things. And that's the only way we're going to get through this. No matter what our situation is, no matter how justified we may, you know, whenever we start arguing with ourselves and we reason with ourselves about somebody else, that's just paving the way for us to be deceived. We're just opening the door. We're just opening the door. We live through these things. No matter what situation we're in, learn to trust God and just go through it. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, that's all we can do. The problem is, and like I've said earlier, the people that are walking in darkness, they call that darkness light. they think that they have that reasoning ability. And the problem is we can talk ourselves into that ourselves. May God help us to be faithful. The glorious thing about all of this is Jesus will overcome them. Jesus will prevail. The Lord will triumph and put all of this under His feet. The Bible says that when He returns, He'll come on a white horse with His armies coming behind Him. And He'll put all this away. You know, we look at things and how powerful they are, and we can't even comprehend how powerful man has become. The powers of man united have become, how vast these companies and corporations and this governments have become. We can't even comprehend that. And yet, Jesus will put them all away with a word. Right into their place. The glorious thing is that when He returns, He will triumph. He already has triumphed. This is just Satan's, all the things that are going on in this world, the bad things, are just Satan. Making as big a bang as he can, because this is all he has. And it will all fall to the glory of Christ when he returns. May the Lord have his blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
Remind me of Jesus talking about building the house on that rock. You know that there's a lot of politicians and philosophers are arguing who's right, who's wrong, and even in religion there's that. But if you just build your house on the rock, you don't even have to worry about it. You know, you just prepare. That's nice to know that we don't have to get neck deep into just whatever the world's throwing. Just follow the Lord and walk in the light, like you said, and just move forward through it. Move through it.
Amen. Here this evening? 6 o'clock. All right.
Singing at Aurora, 2:30. The Cove afterward.
Okay. All right. God bless y'all. Part peace.